book of Revelations for yourself.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, July 14th, 2021, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast, coming to you from the beautiful Streams in the Desert Live home studio via StarWorldWideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is, we are truly on the eve of a new world order. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne and we bow down spiritually speaking. Lord God, we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you've yet to do. We ask that the power, working, and anointing of your Holy Spirit permeate the airwaves today, that this broadcast makes it all the way through and out to the world. For this hour that we are now in is very late, and this message is so important for everyone to hear and to heed the call that you have prepared and ordained for each one of us to be ready, watching, waiting, and praying for the imminent return of your one and only begotten Son, who is the Lord and only Savior of the world, and whose name is Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place upon the cross of Calvary, that I may have eternal life. And Holy Spirit, have your way in this day. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast. As we open the show for today, it is to talk about the signs of the times, which are in the lateness of this hour now swirling all around us. It is also to talk about how important these signs are to the imminent return of the Lord and only Savior of the world, who is there again, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In the rapture, who will return, my friends, in the rapture to whisk away his body, church, saints, or bride, however you like to look at it. In our first piece of the day, we will be taking a look at the crisis that is looming on the horizon in a piece written by Mr. Britt Gillette, author at endtimesbiblephrophecy.com, whose piece is titled, A Geopolitical and Economic Crisis is on the Horizon, of which Mr. Gillette begins by stating, if you listen to the mainstream media, you'll hear a repeating narrative. You'll hear we're nearing the end of the pandemic, just a few more COVID jabs and restrictions will ease. Pent-up demand will explode throughout the world and the global economy will be off and running. Record high stock markets, a hot housing market, and positive government economic data prove the economy is now roaring. That's the belief. The pandemic is ending, the economy is growing, everything is wonderful, and soon we'll return to normal. That's what's happening, right? Says Britt. Now, my friends, just before going on to say, I wish it were so, but a sober look at the global economy reveals a rough road ahead. He then says, furthermore, the odds of global war haven't been as high as they are now in decades. To see this is the case, you only need to look past the agenda-driven news headlines and focus on what's really happening in the world. The broken global supply chain. A year ago, he says, many people warned the COVID shutdowns would have serious and lasting repercussions. Our modern economy runs on a complex just-in-time inventory and delivery system. You can't simply turn it off and on. Global trade is geared towards efficiency, not resiliency. And when you shut down one node in a supply chain, the entire supply chain breaks. He goes on to share that what the global economy experienced last year was a lot like a high-speed car crash. Sometimes you can wreck your car, get out, and walk away without a single scratch. Every outward sign, he says, indicates you survived the crash unscathed, but your outward appearance masks, nice play on word, terrible life-threatening injuries. This is what happened in 2020. The media narrative says the economy is in full recovery, but most of the damage is hidden by trillions of dollars of government spending. Britt says, if you take a closer look, you'll see the truth. The global economy is on life support, and nothing indicates this more than the broken global supply chain. When governments around the world shut down their economies and order citizens to stay home, it sparks a tectonic shift in demand. This shift in demand took place at the same time many businesses were shut down, restricting supplies of the very goods and services many people demanded. For example, demand for consumer toilet paper exploded. When everyone was forced to stay home, demand for commercial toilet paper at offices, airports, restaurants, hotels, etc., disappeared. Each type of toilet paper has a separate supply chain. Thank you, Britt. I always wanted to know that. Those chains, he said, weren't created to be flexible. They couldn't handle the unbalanced demand, and the result was easy to predict. Widespread toilet paper shortages. For similar reasons, he says, we now see shortages of other products. For example, there is now a shortage of a global shortage, he said, of semiconductor chips used in visual displays. This shortage is expected to last for the rest of the year, and the impact is widespread. Auto plants have ground to a halt, and because they lack this one component. Soon, the shortage will spill over into other consumer products, such as laptops, tablets, phones, televisions, and video game consoles. As shortages in these products take hold, what ripple effects will they produce in the global economy? Compounding the problem, the ongoing chip shortage is now impacting the production of chip making equipment itself, making the chip shortage even worse. It is not only semiconductors facing these supply chain woes, other items are in short supply, such as lumber, household appliances, medical supplies. Oh, great. That's not what I want to hear. You know what I mean, Miss Robin? Pharmaceuticals, internet routers, auto parts, coffee, and even ketchup packages or packets, he says. Britt continues by saying the global supply chain is broken and new disruptions could occur at any moment and make it worse. For example, when the cargo ship Ever Given, I had to go look that up because everybody was calling it Evergreen. Now I know why they were doing that, but I didn't realize the ship's name was really Ever Given. when it became lodged in the Suez Canal last month, it blocked all traffic for 6 days. It's estimated around 10% of global trade, including 7% of the world's oil, travels through the Suez Canal. This only made the current situation worse. The impact on global shipping and supply chains will be felt for months. It's the perfect illusion of the fragility of global supply chains. But a broken global supply chain isn't the only problem. Central banks have blown another financial bubble. The central bank response to the COVID crisis was swift and aggressive. All around the world, central banks lowered interest rates and purchased billions in bonds, all to prop up troubled businesses and prevent a financial collapse. While these measures prevented an immediate financial collapse, they further distorted the free market, giving rise to two simultaneous financial bubbles that make the global financial system even more fragile. Number one, a second housing bubble. According to Zillow, the past year has been the hottest year in real estate since 2007. With median house or with medium sale prices in dozens of areas experiencing double-digit price increases. The reason? A combination of low rates and a moratorium on evictions and foreclosures. And in some cases, urban flight to suburban and rural areas. All these factors combine to create both a surge in demand for new and existing homes, as well as a dwindling supply of listings. Not to mention all those people who moved out of California, New York, and every place else that their government, local government starts with a D. The result in a housing market euphoria reminiscent of the 2002 to 2007 housing bubble. For instance, in January of this year, a 2,834 square foot house in Toronto sold for $2,610,000 after 2 days on the market and 17 offers. This was $612,000 over the asking price. In Los Angeles, more than half of the homes sold last month sold for more than their listing price, according to Redfin. March 2021 was the hottest month in housing history, with a record high 42% of homes selling above their list price. Does this sound like a healthy, well-adjusted housing market or another giant housing bubble? Number two. Another stock market bubble. Since the March 2020 lows, the Dow is up 78%. The S&P 500 is up 81%. The NASDAQ is up 104%. The rise in stocks since the March low is the third largest in 100 years. The only two times where the market performed better were July of 1933 and March of 1936, both in the midst of the Great Depression. Just how overvalued is the stock market? The Buffett indicator says very overvalued. Named for the famed investor Warren Buffett, it measures the total market value of stocks relative to the nation's economic output. At over 200%, the Buffett indicator is at an all-time high right now, far higher than in 1929 and far higher than before the dot-com bubble burst. Does this sound like the idea time to invest in stocks or the peak of a market mania? Global markets are fragile, says Mr. Gillette. All bubbles eventually pop. The only question is when they'll pop and what event will pop them. Because of the government policy response to COVID, the stock market is particularly vulnerable to collapse. And its collapse threatens the entire global financial system. Yes, and we can just see those digital currencies making their way to our electronic wallets. Just how fragile is the system, asked Britt. In January, trading in a single stock almost caused a financial panic. While all of the headlines at the time focused on the little guys versus Wall Street, the big headline should have been that GameStop's explosive stock price almost caused a meltdown of the global financial system. Not only did it destroy the hedge fund Melvin Capital, which had a heavy short position in GameStop, but it exposed brokerages like Robinhood, TD Ameritrade, and Charles Schwab to billions in potential losses if their customers couldn't cover their margin debt. He says, for those who aren't familiar, trading on margin means buying stocks with borrowed money. This enhances investors' returns when the market is going up, but it can wipe out investors if the market goes down. Margin debt was a major factor in the 1929 stock market collapse, and now margin debt is making a comeback. As a percentage of real disposable income, margin debt is now higher than it's been in more than 60 years. It's higher than the dot-com bubble, and it's higher than it was before the 1929 crash. Mr. Gillette continues by sharing, in March, Bill Long of Archesco Capital Management lost $20 billion in 2 days when he defaulted on borrowed funds he used to speculate in the stock market. Like the GameStop episode, this too could have caused a systemic collapse of the global financial system. It's estimated Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Credit Suisse, Nomura, and other Wall Street players lost at least $30 billion. Their losses could have triggered a crisis in the more than $2 quadrillion derivatives market, bankrupting banks all over the world and destroying the global financial system, of which is what they were hoping for, my friends. It would bring in the digital dollar really much easier. What's most worrying is the events like what's most worrying, he said, in events like these are taking place when global markets are doing nothing but going straight up. What will happen when the market finally goes down? Next on Brett's list of crises that are on the horizon is that rumors of war abound. He begins by sharing, unfortunately, we've seen all this before. Shrinking global trade and collapsing markets were hallmarks of the 1930s, and so were regional conflicts and the rise of imperial powers. Germany, Italy, and Japan invaded neighboring nations in the 1930s. Totalitarianism swept across the globe like the 1930s. We see similar developments today. He says today's headlines tell of wars and rumors of wars. For example, he says, China recently flew more than 20 warplanes over Taiwan's airspace. They also threatened the Philippines, anchoring several hundred ships near a Philippine reef in the South China Sea. Meanwhile, the United States and Russia threatened to go to war over Ukraine, and Israel and Iran threatened to go to war over Iran's nuclear program. Wars and violent conflicts are nothing new, but frequent high-stake confrontations between nuclear powers are new to the post-Cold War era. Britt continues by saying, like the Cuban Missile Crisis and other Cold War moments of brinksmanship, any one of these situations could suddenly escalate into World War III. As Mr. Gillette moves to close his piece, he says, these are dangerous times, of which I fully agree with my friends. He then goes on to share, despite media attempts to assure us all is well, these are dangerous times. A single bankruptcy and global markets could collapse like a house of cards. One wrong decision and superpowers could unleash a global war. Britt continues by saying, like in 1914 and 1939, the world is on the eve of a new world order. The stage is set for a global economic crisis. International land disputes could trigger all-out war at any moment's notice. It's not a matter of if these events will happen. It's only a matter of when. He says, just before going on to say, my friends, when they happen and the dust of war settles, the world will look different. The global power structure will be nothing like what we see today. He then adds, none of this should surprise you. The Bible says these same conditions will be present just before the Antichrist comes to power. The Bible says that World War III, as noted in Revelation chapter 6, verse 4, which states, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat on thereon and to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. An economic collapse, as noted in Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, which states, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurtest not the oil and the wine. All these things, as noted by the Word of God and reiterated by Mr. Gillette, will precede the rise of the Antichrist global empire, as stated in Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, which says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and all tongues and nations. Britt ends his piece by stating, reading today's headlines, it's clear we're drawing closer and closer to the events of the tribulation. He further states, we're in the midst of a global pandemic, as noted in Luke chapter 21, verse 11, which states, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilence, which is another word for pandemics, my friends, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Britt then points out that Israel is back in the land, as noted in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 7 and 8, which state, therefore, behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country. And from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. And the Jewish people are back in Jerusalem, says Britt, as noted in Luke chapter 21, verses 24 through 28, which state, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And the gospel is being preached throughout the world, as noted in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, which states, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Brett ends by stating, the end times approach. This means the rapture also draws near. So do not despair. Jesus is coming soon. And on that glorious and victorious note, my friend, I will be right back so that we may continue our exposé of the fact that we are truly on the eve of a new world order.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, we believe.
That's what we're here for, my friends. We believe that Jesus went to the cross, he conquered death, he was raised from the dead by his Father God, and he's on his way back for those who believe that and who follow him and are obedient and faithful to all that God has called us to do in the Word of God. And the first thing is to make Jesus the Lord and Master and Savior, soon coming King and Messiah of our life, and then follow the precepts of what God's Word says to be doing at this time until Jesus returns. The Word of God says, occupy until I come. And what occupation we're supposed to hold as Christians is to tell everyone that Jesus loves you and Jesus heals and Jesus saves and Jesus is soon to return. That is the message in a nutshell, my friends. Okay, now continuing on with our theme for today, which is the investigation of the signs of the times, which are all around us and are conveying to us, such as never before, that we are truly on the eve of a new world order. Let us continue with another piece by Mr. Britt Gillette, author of EndTimeBibleProphecy.com, who is now asking us, as the title of his piece states, how close is the second coming? Of which Mr. Gillette begins by sharing, the past year has been a wake-up call for many people. And I truly do believe that, my friends. I have seen so many people change in this past year. A global pandemic, he says, riots and social unrest in countries in countless nations, fractures in the global economy, and now Israel and Hamas at war. He says, everywhere you look, it seems as though the end is near. Is it? What does the Bible say? Are these signs of the second coming? Well, they are, my friends, but they're also the signs of the rapture, which is to take place long before the second coming. He says, are these events pointing to the soon return of Jesus Christ? Fortunately, we don't have to guess. Jesus himself told us how to recognize the general time frame of his return. When the disciples said, tell us the signs of your coming and the end of the age, which are noted in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, Jesus told them a number of things to look for. He then said, when you see all these things, you can know my return is near. I'm right at the door. Matthew chapter 24, verse 33. He also said, when all these things begin to happen, look up, for your salvation is near. Luke chapter 21, verse 28. Britt then says, this means the number one indication Jesus will return soon is all the signs appearing together. Both Jesus and the prophets told us what signs to look for, and the appearing of just one is reason enough to take notice, but the arrival of one sign after another demands your attention. It's the sign Jesus said to look for. This convergence of signs is confirmation our generation will witness not only the second coming, as he says, but the rapture far before the second coming, my friends. Not according to me, he says, but according to Jesus. The convergence of signs. So what are these signs? Says Britt. Jesus and the prophets pointed to dozens and dozens of signs. This article will only cite a few. But the reality of each one of these signs is undeniable, he says, and so say I, my friends. And their convergence should convince you the return of the Lord is close at hand. These signs include Israel back in the land. God promises to bring the Jewish people back into the land of Israel before he returned. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 7 and 8. He said he would call them from among the nations, Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 28. From the farthest corners of the earth, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. And from north, south, east, and west, Psalms 107, 3. He promised to welcome them home for the lands from the lands that they were scattered. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 34. When they did, he promised to return and establish his everlasting kingdom. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11 and 12. Next, the Jewish people in control of Jerusalem. Jesus said armies would surround Jerusalem, destroy the city, and enslave its citizens. The Roman legions fulfilled this prophecy in AD 70. Jesus then said people other than the Jewish people would control Jerusalem for a time until the Jewish people once again controlled Jerusalem. When they did, Jesus promised to return, Luke chapter 21, verses 24 through 28. Since 1967, the Jewish people have controlled Jerusalem. But I want to add a little note to that, my friends, just so that you know that I know, and that is, but they do not ultimately control at this time the Temple Mount. It is controlled by Jordanian Muslim overseers, let's just say it that way. So he goes on to say the gospel preached throughout the world is the next sign. He says, when asked about the end of the age and the signs of his coming, Jesus said to look for a very specific sign. He said the gospel will be preached throughout the entire world. Every nation will hear it, and then the end will come. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. For centuries after the crucifixion, the gospel was confined to a small area surrounding the Mediterranean Sea. In the past two centuries, Christians have brought the gospel to every nation in the world. Today, missionaries are in every nation. The Bible is translated into hundreds of languages, and the message of Jesus is sent around the world by radio, TV, satellite, and the internet. This generation is on the verge of spreading the gospel to every last person on earth. Next, the increase in travel and knowledge. 600 years before Jesus, an angel gave Daniel a special message. He said, travel and knowledge will increase in the end times. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. For centuries of human history, dramatic gains in travel and knowledge did not take place. Yet, the last 200 years have seen explosions in the speed and frequency of travel, as well as the amount and availability of knowledge. Next, arrival of the exponential curve. Jesus said a variety of global signs will come before he returns and at the end of the age. These signs will be spiritual, natural, societal, political, and nature. He said they will appear in a distinct way, like birth pangs or birth pains. Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 8. This means the frequency and intensity of these signs will increase as we near his return. Our generation has seen the exponential increase in war and famine Jesus said to look for. In the 20th century alone, more people died from war and famine than lived on the earth when Jesus spoke those words. Next, Israel surrounded by enemies. The Bible says enemies will surround Israel in the end times. So those enemies will say, come, let us wipe away the nation of Israel. Let us destroy the memory of its existence. And believe you me, it does say that in Psalms chapter 83, verse 4. And let us take out for ourselves these pasture lands of God, Psalms 83, verse 12. Ezekiel said, Israel's neighbors will say, God has given their land to us. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 14 through 17. And Israel and Judah are ours. That would mean the northern and southern kingdom of Israel. The northern kingdom was called Israel until it was destroyed off the face of the earth. Then there was only the southern kingdom left, which is Judah, which is where Jerusalem is, and which is the city that God has placed his name upon, and it belongs to him perpetually throughout eternity from that time going forward, as noted in the Word of God. And Israel and Judah are ours. We will take possession of them. What do we care if their God is there? Ezekiel chapter 35, verse 10. Ever since the rebirth of Israel in 1948, the daily headlines have included these Bible verses. Israel's Muslim neighbors claim that the land of Israel, Israel's Muslim neighbors, in other words, have claimed the land of Israel for themselves, and they have no regard for the God of Israel. Next, Israel's exceedingly great army. Ezekiel said in the end times, Israel will field an exceedingly great army. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 10. Zechariah said Israel will be like a fire among sheaves of grain, burning up the neighboring nations. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 6, and even the weakest Israeli soldier will be like David. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8. Since 1948, Israel has fought no less than four conventional wars against its neighbors, despite being outnumbered more than 50 to 1. Israel has achieved overwhelming victory every time. Hey, that's what happens when God is on your side, my friends. Next, the rise of Gog of Magog alliance. The Bible says a military alliance that includes Russia, Iran, Turkey, and a number of Muslim nations will attack Israel in the latter days. Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 8. You know how I'm always telling you about the wars of Ezekiel 38 and 39, which are yet to come. That is what this is speaking about. When God brings his people home from among the enemy nations, which he has done in 1948, Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 27, today we see those very nations coming together for the first time as an alliance that has never existed in world history. Which is very true, my friends. I remember exact date that Iran, Turkey, and Russia came together for the first time in this alliance. It was in November 22nd, 2017. And from that time on, they have been plotting exactly what the Lord has laid out in the Bible, unbeknownst to themselves, that they're going down to the pit, which will end up being for them the lake of fire for all eternity, unless they change their ways. Next, my friends, the rise of a united Europe. The Bible says a revived Roman Empire will come to power in the end times. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Revelation chapter 17 all outline this. According to Daniel, it will be a 10-nation alliance of weak and strong nations. Some parts will be as strong as iron, while other parts will be as weak as clay. Daniel chapter 2, verse 42. We see the beginning of this alliance in the European Union, a coalition of weak and strong nations struggling to stay together. Next, the rise of global government. the Bible says a single government will rule the world politically, Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. Religiously, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And economically, Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17. In the last days, it will rule over all the people, tribes, and languages on the face of the earth. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, in regards to the Antichrist, who will take up his tyrannical rule and reign once the Lord Jesus Christ has come to receive his church in the rapture and change them in the twinkling of an eye, my friends. Its authority in regards to this one world government ruled by the Antichrist will be so complete, no one will be able to buy or sell anything without its permission. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17. For centuries, a true global government was impossible. Today, world leaders openly discuss it. Next, denial of the signs. Almost 2,000 years ago, Peter issued a warning. He said, in the last days, people will mock the idea of Jesus returning. We see it everywhere. They will make fun of those who believe in the second coming and the rapture, my friends, and say exactly what we hear today. Things like, I thought Jesus was coming back. What happened to his promise? Generation after generation has said he's coming. Yet, since the beginning of the world, everything has remained the same. That is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And part of that in what people say in regards to the yet since the beginning of the world, everything has remained the same as a lie in itself. Because, my friends, since the beginning of the world, the flood came and wiped all the people away. So except for Noah and his family. So the fact is, they have not remained the same since the beginning of the world. Just thought I'd throw that in. Mr. Gillette says, the hour is late. He says, keep in mind these signs haven't always been present. Generations of Christians lived and died without witnessing any of these signs. For centuries of Christian history, none of these signs were present. Today, they all are. Jesus said, when you see these signs, you can know his return is near. He's right at the door, Matthew chapter 24, verse 33. In fact, Jesus said, the generation witnessing these signs will not pass away before he returns. Matthew chapter 24, verse 34. So despite the skeptics and the naysayers, Jesus is coming, and ours is the generation that will witness his return. The convergence of all these signs confirm it. How many generations of Christians long to see what we see, yet there's a strange silence in the church? Why? Why? The appearance of all these signs after centuries of waiting should motivate every Christian on earth to make the most of what time we have left. Jesus commanded us to watch for these signs, Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. He scolded the Pharisees and the religious leaders when they failed to recognize the signs of his first coming. Matthew chapter 16, verse 3. Will he do any different for those who fail to recognize the signs of his second coming? Jesus warned us not to be caught sleeping when he returns, Matthew chapter 13, verse 36, among many places in the word that it talks about that. If you're a Christian, says Mr. Gillette, God expects you to point out these signs to others and warn them the end is near. If the world ignores you, so be it. But if you recognize the signs of the times and don't tell others about them, you're no different than a watchman who sees an invading army and doesn't sound the alarm. If you fail in your role as watchman, God will hold you accountable for all those who perish. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 6. Have no doubt, he says, the signs of his return are all around us. Jesus is coming. If you've been waiting to share the gospel with someone, don't wait one more minute. You may not have another opportunity. The hour is late. The signs are present. Now is the season of his return. My friends, as we can read in Mr. Gillette's first piece, he as well as we does believe in the rapture of the church, as well as the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I mentioned before. Or his pieces would not have been shared by me here today, because those are two absolutely different events. And the one that you should be looking for is the rapture. Because to wait for the second coming is to be among the people that will be destroyed who have taken the mark of the beast after the time of great tribulation has ended at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, my friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ does come in his second coming to set up his kingdom, his millennial kingdom upon the earth for 1,000 years. Mr. Gillette says, please make no mistake about it. Or I said this, my friends, please make no mistake about it. The signs of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the rapture for his bride are all around us. And we need to be ready, watching, waiting, and praying for his imminent return. For if you are ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air when he breaks the eastern sky in the rapture, you will return with him at his second coming, at the end of the time of the great tribulation, as noted in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 13, of which state, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Those armies, my friends, are you and I, coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ at his second coming, if you're ready to meet him in the air at the rapture. "And out of his mouth, the word of God says, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." The only question now, my friends, left to answer is, how can you be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air at his return in the rapture? Or as the Bible puts it, what must I do to be saved? The answer to that question, my friends, is found in the Bible. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, which state, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou or you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, or right living in Jesus Christ, as I like to say. And the word of God goes on to say, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation means way of escape, my friends. So the fact is that the Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation. He is our way of escape through the precious and holy blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary that covers our sins. He made a way for us to come into eternal life. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, who is he? He's Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friends, today is the day of salvation, says the Lord God in his word. He says that we should never look to tomorrow because we don't know if tomorrow among the land of the living is ours here on this earth. We should always be looking for tomorrow that we would be with the Lord Jesus Christ if we were to leave at any given time and take our last breath. If we belong to him, we know that tomorrow we would be with him if we left this earth and left the land of the living. We would be taking up our eternal life. And today, my friends, we are in a point in this world that everyone within the hearing of my voice, and no matter what day you would hear this, you need to take stock and account of your life. You need to put your spiritual house in order. The Lord God is the one sending this message. I am just the messenger. His word is indelible and it can't be changed. He has made a way for us to receive eternal life. If we do not partake of it, we will end up in the lake of fire. There is only two choices, to walk the streets of gold with the Lord Jesus Christ or to burn in torment for all eternity with Satan, his evil angels, demons, and all those upon this earth who chose not to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive his gift of eternal life. My friends, today, if you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you can do that right now, especially if you feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit saying, yes, get ready, this is perfect, this is your opportunity. The Lord has made the way for you to be right here, right now, to partake of this eternal gift. And you know in your heart that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. That's what the Word of God says, my friends. So therefore, that's what the Holy Spirit would be saying to you at any given time he would choose to. So the fact is today, if you would like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be ready, watching, waiting, and praying for his imminent return when he comes in the rapture to change those who belong to him at his appearing in the twinkling of an eye, and those who he does change in the twinkling of an eye will forever be with him from that day forward, then today is your day. And let us pray this prayer of salvation unto the Lord with a broken and contrite heart and spirit. For the Lord knows the end from the beginning, and he knows every heart of every man. So today, if you feel the prick of the Holy Spirit in your heart, please enter into this prayer unto the Lord. I am the messenger. He is the Lord God that you must please to enter into the eternal kingdom. And to please him, it is to have a personal relationship with his one and only begotten son, who is none other than Jesus Christ, who took the place upon the cross of Calvary that you should have taken, my friends. So let us pray together. My friends, please pray this out loud because you're speaking to the Lord God, and words are important to the Lord God. He told me one time, he said, words are important. That means whatever words you're using to describe something, it's important. Words are important. And so therefore today, you're speaking to the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You're in the service of the King. So render unto the King what is the King's, and his is respect and honor and glory. Please pray with me for your salvation. Dear Lord God, I humbly come before your throne and bow down spiritually speaking Lord God, I thank you for sending your one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ, to take my place upon the cross of Calvary. And Lord God, I am going to ask your one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ, this day to be my Lord, Master, Savior, soon coming King, and Messiah, that I may be ready to enter into your eternal kingdom. And I thank you for this great opportunity and gift. Lord Jesus, I humbly bow down before your throne, and I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would please forgive me of my sins. I know that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and you are the only Savior of mankind. And Lord Jesus, I know that you are faithful and true to do that which you have promised. And today, Lord Jesus, I ask that you would please forgive me of my sins and wash me as white as snow and prompt me to seek the Lord God for the indwelling power, working, and anointing of your Holy Spirit, that I may know all things and be able to work and operate in whatever you have prepared and ordained for me to do in this hour. Lord Jesus, thank you for receiving me and forgiving me of my sins. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would have your way in this day and every day forward from this time. And I ask that you would bring all things to my remembrance, that you would lead me and guide me into all truth and righteousness, and bring all things to my remembrance that I have need of. And Lord God, I want to seek you for the indwelling power, working, and anointing of your Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And I will pursue you daily in prayer until I receive that gift, which is mine, that you have promised to those who belong to you. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray, amen and amen. Okay, my friends, that's it. It's a wrap. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee his perfect shalom, or peace. Shalom and blessings until we meet again.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world. Take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all, now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?